The Kremlin has accused the United States of adding oil to the fire in Ukraine by approving the use of long-range missiles which can be fired deep into Russia. Although Joe Biden's decision hasn't been formally announced, it's reported to be in response to Moscow's use of North Korean troops. Over the weekend, Russia launched a significant wave of airstrikes on Ukraine, including a missile attack which killed at least 11 people in the city of Sumy. This morning, a strike on Odessa was reported to have killed 8 people. Journalist Emmanuel Shays is in Kyiv.
Well, a new missile attack from Russia against the port city of Odessa killed at least 8 people. 18 people got injured. This is not the first time that the port city has been targeted. Last week, another person died. 8 persons were injured also in a similar strike that struck the city center of the city. Residential buildings were damaged. And again, then, as in this morning, there's thousands of people who are left also without electricity in that city because there's never just one missile, one drone that falls on the city. It's usually several of them, and the air defense in Ukraine is simply exhausted, cannot arrest, cannot stop all of them. And as a consequence, when they fall, be they intercepted or not, they cause extensive damage and they kill people as well.
This was part really of a wave of attacks over the past few days. Where else has been hit?
Absolutely, a wave of attacks. This morning as well, we've learned about what happened in Sumy, in the city of Sumy. A 9-story building also got struck by a missile. You know, the Sumy region is just at the border with Russia. So again, it's difficult for air defense in Ukraine to intercept missiles or glide bombs or drones that are being thrown at Sumy. And last night, this overnight attack against Sumy killed 11 people, injured around 70 people. And among the persons killed, there's a child, a 9-year-old boy, there's a teenager, a 14-year-old girl, and there's also 10 children among the injured. And again, we see the civilians who are the primary target for Russia. And this comes just after Russia's largest attack in almost 3 months against Ukraine. That was a hybrid attack with missiles, hypersonic missiles, ballistic missiles, and also kamikaze drones over the weekend. With 120 missiles and 90 drones, out of which the Ukrainian air defense only managed to intercept 140.
Given all of this, are there concerns that Russia is once again stepping up its air attacks and that they might continue?
Well, it is clear that this is there's an increasing amount of attacks, and they primarily target energy infrastructure. I was just in Kyiv, in the city center, this morning, and you could hear generators roaring again in the streets because the energy grid is really impacted by those strikes, especially the ones that took place over the weekend. And you have to keep in mind that the energy grid in Ukraine has already been heavily damaged or destroyed. At around 70% of its capacity. That means that there's a lot of questions as to how it will be possible to pass the winter, to have enough electricity, enough power to go through this winter.
And that was journalist Emmanuel Shays in Kyiv. Well, for more on America's decision on long-range missiles, we can talk to Donika O'Bakoin, who's Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Donika, how much is known about what America is proposing to allow?
Well, the reports are that it's a very limited permission. It's not a broad authorization to attack with US weapons anywhere in Russia. What we know is that it's going to be a limited area in the Kursk region, which is the region of Russia that Ukraine invaded in August and has held that territory since August. So Russia is now preparing a major counteroffensive. It's estimated that about 50,000 troops are being prepared for this, including, controversially, about 10,000 troops from North Korea. And they're going to try and regain this territory. And that's one of the reasons why many people think that Joe Biden made this decision, because it's not in Ukraine's interest, obviously, to lose that territory now, especially when there's more and more talk of potential negotiations, in or around Trump taking office in January.
Militarily, then, what will this mean for Ukraine?
It It will not mean an awful lot. It's not going to, you know, be a game changer or revolutionize the conflict. It allows, these are versatile missile systems, so they can strike about 300 kilometers into Russian territory. But most of the Russian air bases which they'd be wanting to attack would be well beyond that. So the hope is that they can attack munition depots, for example. It's really to push back any attempt at a counteroffensive. It's not to gain new territory, and it's not to, you know, gain territory that has already been lost to Russia in Ukraine.
Russia says America is pouring oil on the fire. How is it likely to respond?
I don't think it's likely to respond in any way other than the rhetorical. You must remember that, you know, when Putin first invaded, or Russia first invaded Ukraine in the full-scale invasion back in February 2022, he made a really chilling speech in which he said that any country which helped Ukraine would suffer consequences the like of which they'd never seen. And, you know, that was, you know, interpreted as meaning some kind of nuclear strike. But since then, you know, Western countries have supplied all sorts of military technology, ammunition, tanks and whatnot. And every time Putin comes back and says that this is going to raise the temperature, the fact is that the temperature has been raised to boiling point by Putin himself. And the widening of the conflict isn't because of this decision by Joe Biden, which Ukrainians consider to be belated. It's really by bringing in the North Koreans into the conflict. So here's a second country, which is, you know, a lot of ammunition, a lot of troops, which is now being brought into direct conflict with Ukraine.
Given everything he has said about bringing the war to a swift end, is Donald Trump likely to reverse this decision?
I mean, Donald Trump takes pride in being unpredictable. So the only thing we can ever know for sure about Donald Trump is that he's difficult to read and is often inconsistent. Certainly, people in Ukraine are pessimistic about the prospects of a Trump presidency, not least because of the people that are in his inner circle. His own eldest son, indeed, posted a meme on Instagram recently saying that Zelensky's allowance was going to run out soon. And, you know, Elon Musk as well said very recently that you know, Zelensky had a great sense of humor in arguing that Ukraine was an independent sovereign country which you know, wouldn't be forced to the negotiating table against its will. So there's a lot of pessimism there about the prospects, but you know, at the same time, I mean, if Donald Trump feels that, you know, a loss in Ukraine would be prejudicial to the US image, and that Putin would get the better of him, that might, you know, appeal to his ego and might actually, you know, make him more robust in protecting Ukraine. But the problem is that his view of world affairs is very transactional. It's not based on emotions or alliances or friendships. It's purely transactional. He doesn't really see what Ukraine is of value to the United States.
Professor Donika O'Bakhoin, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime.